Imagine losing a multi-million dollar aerospace contract, not because your engineering was flawed or, your pricing was too high,
Right.
or even because your competitors had better machinery. Imagine losing it simply because your most critical technical specifications were saved on your website as a PDF and the buyer just couldn't find them.
It happens way more often than you'd think.
Welcome back. Whether you're prepping for a high-stakes marketing meeting or you're currently working in the industrial sector, or maybe you're just our resident learner who's fascinated by how complex deals actually originate from a simple search query, you are in the right place.
Absolutely.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into an expert guide on SEO for manufacturing companies. And let me tell you, if you think you know how search engine optimization works because you've seen how consumer retail brands do it, well, prepare for some major aha moments.
Yeah, it's a completely different world.
We're going to explore why traditional B2C search strategies completely fail industrial companies, how the highly complex B2B buying journey actually operates behind the scenes, and how to build a digital strategy that drives real lucrative requests for, quote, or RFQs.
That's the ultimate goal, right
Oh,
there.
let's unpack this,
Yeah.
because right out of the gate, the sources make it crystal clear that marketing a manufacturing company online is fundamentally different than selling consumer goods. Like, the entire mindset of the buyer is just different.
That mindset is the entire foundation of this challenge, actually. Manufacturing SEO is a specialized beast because the target audience isn't looking for a quick, impulsive purchase to satisfy a craving. You
Right,
know,
they're not buying a pair of sneakers.
exactly. We aren't talking about a consumer clicking a social media ad. The people conducting these searches are highly trained engineers. I mean, they're meticulous procurement teams and seasoned industrial decision makers. They are making high-stakes decisions that involve incredibly complex supply chains, massive budgets, and real-world safety implications.
Stakes are high.
Because of that weight, their search behavior is highly technical, incredibly specific, and often relies on a sales cycle that takes months, if not years, to close.
Wow, years. So let's dismantle what the sources call the biggest misconception in digital marketing. There is this deeply ingrained idea that higher search volume automatically equals higher value,
Right,
right?
yeah, the classic trap.
That a brand always wants to target the keywords that get 100,000 searches a month. But to really grasp manufacturing SEO, we have to look under the hood at how commercial intent physically changes as searches get more and more granular.
Right. In traditional consumer SEO, broad, high-volume searches are often considered the gold mine. You want as many eyeballs as possible.
Just cast a wide net.
Right. But in the manufacturing space, that broadness is a trap. Let's look at the keyword narrowing example from our source material because it maps out the psychology of the searcher perfectly. Imagine someone starting with a broad term like CNC machining. That is a massive, high-volume search. Millions of people might search that, but it completely lacks specific commercial intent.
So, like, a high school student doing a robotics project could be searching for that, or a hobbyist.
Exactly. They just want the basic Wikipedia definition or maybe a YouTube tutorial.
They aren't trying to source parts for an airplane.
Exactly the issue.
Yeah.
The broad term gives you traffic, but it absolutely doesn't give you revenue.
Yeah.
As the buyer narrows their requirements, the overall search volume plummets, but the commercial intent, their readiness to actually spend money, skyrockets.
Makes sense.
So from that broad CNC machining, our buyer moves to five-axis CNC machining. Now they need a specific technology.
Okay, narrowing it down.
Then they get more specific regarding materials, like aluminum five-axis CNC machining. Then they add their application aerospace five-axis CNC machining.
Wow, getting very specific.
And finally, they search for the exact vendor profile they need to make a purchase, which would be AS9100 CNC machining supplier.
And for context, AS9100 is a highly strict, specialized quality management standard required for the aerospace industry, right?
Spot on. The search volume for that final phrase might be a handful of people a month compared to the millions searching the first phrase,
Yeah.
but the person typing it is sitting on a massive budget and is actually ready to buy.
Another brilliant example from the text was the difference between targeting plastic manufacturing versus ISO 13485 medical plastic manufacturer.
Oh, that's a great one.
The first one could mean a company making cheap plastic toys for a dollar store.
Right.
The second one, That's a buyer who knows exactly what regulatory standards they need to legally produce a medical device.
Exactly.
So for the marketers listening, it sounds like traditional B2C SEO is like casting a massive net into the ocean, hoping to catch anything. Old boots, seaweed, maybe a fish. Whereas manufacturing SEO is like spearfishing.
Spearfishing, yes.
You are diving into deep water looking for one very specific, very rare fish. But let me push back for a second here.
Yeah.
Defending a marketing budget is tough. Isn't it terrifying for a business to intentionally tell their board that they are targeting keywords that maybe 10 people are searching for?
What's fascinating here is the underlying psychology of commercial intent and how hard it is to untrain marketers from chasing big numbers. It feels completely counterintuitive, but a low-volume search from a highly qualified buyer is infinitely more valuable than thousands of clicks from people just seeking definitions.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly. I mean, think about the math. If you get 10 visitors a month, but two of them are aerospace procurement officers who submit multi-million dollar RFQs, that is a wildly successful digital strategy.
Yeah, you'd take that any day.
You are trading vanity metrics like meaningless website traffic for actual business viability.
Right. So since we've established that specificity is the key here, we naturally have to ask who exactly is making these hyper-specific searches.
Ah, yes. The buying committee.
This brings us to the reality of the B2B buying committee. And seeing the data on this, optimizing a website for a single monolithic buyer is a complete misunderstanding of how business-to-business deals actually happen.
The statistics are wild. B2B buying committees average 17 stakeholders.
I'm sorry, 17.
Yes.
Wow.
That is 17 different human beings involved in the purchase process for a single contract.
Yeah.
And they do not search the same way.
Wow.
Because they all have entirely different professional priorities, fears, and internal jargon. They're essentially speaking different languages while trying to buy the exact same thing.
Let's break down that boardroom dynamic, because the sources give a fantastic explanation of how this committee actually operates at their keyboard. First, you have the engineer. They are trying to build something that won't fail. They care about tolerances, material stress points, and technical feasibility, right?
Exactly.
They are the ones typing in something like tight tolerance aluminum CNC machining.
Then, down the hall, you have the procurement team. Their job is to manage the supply chain and protect the company from liability.
Right.
So they care about vendor stability, certifications, pricing, and lead times. Their search looks completely different. They aren't looking at tolerances.
What are they looking for?
They are typing ISO-certified CNC machining supplier.
Okay, and then operations steps in. They need to know if this manufacturer can actually deliver 10,000 units by next Tuesday. They care about factory capacity and reliability.
Yes, exactly.
So they search for a high-volume CNC machining company.
Finally, you have the business leader or the executive. They're looking at the 10,000-foot view risk mitigation, overall capabilities, and long-term strategic fit.
The big picture stuff.
Right. Their search query is going to be something broad but highly commercial, like aerospace contract manufacturing company. So you have four different stakeholders using four completely different search terms, all trying to vet the exact same supplier for the exact same project.
The sources make a critical point here about language, too. You have to use the actual terminology these buyers use.
Yes, you can't just use your own internal jargon.
Right, which you gather from listening to sales calls, analyzing site search data, and reading old RFQs.
Absolutely essential.
But logistically, if you have 17 different people at the same company, all using different search terms, how does a manufacturer catch all of them without their website looking like a chaotic, disorganized mess?
That is the million-dollar logistical question right there. You absolutely do not try to cram all 17 perspectives onto one single web page.
Okay.
If an engineer lands on a page full of executive-level risk mitigation jargon, they will bounce. They're gone. Instead, you have to map these different search intents to specific, tailored content across your site.
I see.
You're building an architecture. Think of it like designing a digital factory floor that guides each specific persona to the exact tool they need at the exact moment they need it.
That concept of site architecture is so important because these 17 stakeholders are searching for different things at different stages of a very long buying cycle.
Very long.
So a manufacturer's website has to act as a perfectly organized digital library. It needs to guide them seamlessly from the moment they realize they have a problem all the way down to the final RFQ.
And if that digital library is disorganized or worse, contradictory,
yeah,
you lose the deal before you even know you were in the running.
Ouch.
Yeah, the sources highlighted a staggering statistic. 69% of B2B buyers report inconsistencies between a company's website and what their sales reps actually say.
Wow, 69%.
And that destroys trust instantly. If your sales rep promises a specific manufacturing tolerance, but your procurement buyer checks the website and sees a different number, they flag the supplier as a risk and walk away. Alignment is everything.
To build that alignment and trust, the sources detail an entire ecosystem of necessary pages. It's not just a contact us page.
Definitely not.
You need product pages, capability and service pages, application and use case pages, industry hubs, materials pages, case studies, and heavy technical resources.
It's all about mapping to the buyer's journey. In the problem awareness stage, they need educational explainers. When they move to technical research, they need deep specification guides.
Makes sense.
For supplier evaluation, they look at your capability pages to see your machines. To reduce risk, they read your case studies and check your certifications. And finally, for the decision, they land on your RFQ pages.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The strategy isn't just about hiring a copywriter to generate all of this from scratch, is it?
Not at all.
The sources talk about repurposing the absolute gold mines of data these companies already have sitting around gathering dust.
Yes, this is huge.
We are talking about finding technical specs hidden in old PDFs, taking internal how-to guides and making them public, turning old performance reports into fresh case studies.
Exactly.
It's like finding a $100 bill in your winter coat pocket. The content is already there, it just needs to be liberated. But wait, if a company already has these 50-page PDF manuals hosted on their site, why isn't that enough for search engines?
That assumption is where so many incredible manufacturing companies stumble. Having great content locked inside a PDF or presented in a messy digital format is practically useless if search engines can't read it.
Oh, wow.
PDFs are basically dead ends on the internet. They are terrible to read on a mobile phone, they don't link well to other pages on your site, and more importantly, if the new wave of AI search tools can't interpret the data inside them, you don't exist in the modern search ecosystem.
This brings us to the technical traps of SEO. Hiding your best technical specs in an unreadable image file or locking them inside a massive PDF is basically like locking the front doors to your storefront during business hours and wondering why no one is buying anything.
A perfect analogy. The technical reality of how search engines work is that specifications must be presented in what we call crawlable HTML. HTML is the universal language of the web.
Okay, so no hidden files.
Right. If you hide crucial data inside JavaScript, which can act like an invisible wall that blocks search engine bots from reading the text, or if you upload an image of a spec sheet rather than typing the text out, Google doesn't know that data exists.
What are some other traps?
Other common structural traps include having duplicate product pages that confuse the search engine, uncrawlable data tables, or a site architecture that requires 10 clicks to find a page. A search engine bot will literally give up before it finds your most important pages.
It isn't just about making the site technically accessible either, right? It's about proving to those search engines that you actually know what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Trust is everything.
The sources discuss trust signals, specifically EEAT, which stands for experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. And get this, 70% of top B2B SEO performers explicitly highlight specialized industry knowledge as the core engine of their success.
Generic marketing fluff won't cut it. You have to prove your expertise through the screen.
How do you do that?
Well, the sources gave a really practical, real-world mechanism for this from Skopic Studios. Mm. When Skopic publishes their own technical content, they don't just post it anonymously.
Right.
They have it reviewed by their own internal specialists. The source specifically mentioned having an SEO article reviewed by Sanja Sambarak, an SEO specialist, and actually linking to her professional background on the page.
Oh, that's smart.
Manufacturers need to do the exact same thing with their engineers and product specialists. Huh. When an article about aerospace machining is visibly authored or reviewed by a senior mechanical engineer with a linked bio, it proves to both the search engine and the human reader that the content is authoritative.
And we really have to talk about why organizing all this data properly is so crucial right this second. Because we are standing on the edge of the AI horizon.
Yes, the game is changing.
The shift to AI-driven search, specifically generative engine optimization, or GEO, is completely changing the mechanics of the internet. AI is now parsing content to generate direct answers for users right there on the screen, rather than just handing them a list of blue links to click on.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, organizing your technical data properly doesn't just appease traditional Google bots anymore. It actively trains AI search engines to view your manufacturing company as the definitive source of truth.
Wow.
To do this, the sources recommend a very specific structural approach. You need to answer important questions directly and concisely at the top of a page before expanding on them.
Okay, get straight to the point.
Exactly. You need to use highly descriptive headings. You need to implement comparison and mapping tables that AI can easily parse. And crucially, you need to use schema and structured data.
For the non-marketers listening, think of schema and structured data like a hidden translator working behind the scenes of your website.
That's a good way to put it.
It's code that doesn't just show a number. It tags that number specifically as a tolerance threshold or a price so the AI doesn't get confused about what it's looking at.
Exactly.
It's basically about spoon-feeding the AI the exact, clearly labeled data it needs. That way, when an engineer asks an AI tool a highly technical question, the AI quotes your company as the answer.
It is the ultimate digital authority. But once all this content is built, technically sound, liberated from PDFs, and fully optimized for AI, we reach the final hurdle.
The business hurdle.
The business hurdle, yes.
Yeah.
How do we know if any of this is actually working?
Right, because you can't pay your factory workers with website traffic.
No, you cannot.
We have to redefine what success actually looks like in this space. We're moving entirely away from vanity metrics like total page views and looking strictly at actual business outcomes.
Because as we discussed with the keyword volume trapped earlier, ranking number one for a high volume, generic keyword is utterly meaningless if the visitors are high school students instead of procurement officers.
The sources map out the ideal conversion path, the specific user journey that actually leads to revenue. A user reads a technical article to understand a problem,
right,
which links seamlessly to a capability page to show you can solve it, which provides proof via a case study, which naturally leads to an RFQ submission. That is the golden path.
And to measure the success of that path, you have to track the right similar product, key performance indicators, or KPIs. The challenge is that B2B attribution is hard.
How so?
Well, someone might do an organic search in March, read a white paper in June, and finally submit an RFQ in November. To see that whole picture, you aren't just looking at daily clicks.
You need bigger systems.
Exactly. You need systems tracking qualified organic inquiries, the actual number of RFQ submissions, the qualified pipeline revenue that was influenced by organic search over time, and even target account visits.
Target account visits.
Yeah, that's when you use tracking software to see if specific dream clients are browsing your site.
That's incredibly powerful. The sources also made a really subtle but vital point about the very final step of this entire process, removing friction from the RFQ form itself.
Oh, this is huge.
If you've done all this incredible work to guide a buyer through 17 stakeholders, optimized for AI, and provided perfect technical specs, you cannot lose them at the finish line because your contact form asks 20 unnecessary questions.
Yes. Keep it simple.
Don't ask for their entire life story if you just need enough info to quote a part. So what does this all mean?
It means the ultimate goal of all this technical SEO work is the RFQ, not the traffic counter.
It sounds like the marketing department and the sales department have to be completely locked at the hip for this to work.
They have to be entirely synchronized. Mm. The sales team is on the front lines. They know exactly what the buyers are asking, what terminology they use, and what their hesitations are. Marketing needs that exact data to build the SEO strategy. This is exactly why specialized agencies like Scopic Studios tailor their strategies directly to business goals, effectively turning organic digital visibility into actual tangible sales opportunities rather than just pretty charts.
It really is a massive journey we've just taken you on today.
We covered a lot of ground.
We started by completely ignoring the temptation of vanity search volume and focusing on commercial intent. We unpacked the immense friction and psychological complexity of catering to a 17-headed buying committee.
Yeah.
We talked about the incredible value of freeing your hidden technical data from old PDFs. And finally, how to organize all of it using schema and clean architecture for the new AI frontier.
It's a whole new world.
And even if you aren't working in the manufacturing sector, the lesson here is profound for you. Specificity, establishing verifiable trust, and deeply understanding the true mechanics behind a simple search query are the absolute keys to cutting through the noise in literally any industry today.
This raises an important question, though, doesn't it?
Oh.
We noted that B2B buying committees have 17 human stakeholders, and that AI is now aggressively surfacing technical answers directly to users.
Right.
What happens to the B2B sales cycle when AI systems become so advanced that the AI itself acts as the 18th stakeholder.
Oh, wow.
Or, even more likely, what happens when the AI becomes the very first stakeholder that the other 17 humans consult before they even look at a search engine? How do you sell to a machine?
Wow. That is exactly the kind of question we want you to take with you today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you. And remember, the next time you are building a digital strategy, don't just cast a massive net into the ocean. Grab your spear, figure out exactly what rare fish you're looking for, and go get it.